Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Yud Daled. We will begin on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Eilu Matarim, the following Nedarim are not effective Nedarim. And the sugya that we're going to learn today is really a continuation of the halachas that we have been learning for the last number of shiurim, and that is the halach of Hatfasa. As we have said, Hatfasa is an effective means of creating a neder. In fact, as we said, there's a machlokes rishonim, if it's the primary way of effecting a neder. Some rishonim say it's the primary way, others say that it's not necessarily the primary way, but it's certainly effective in creating a neder. However, as we have been learning, when hatfasa is done, it has to be done specifically bedover hanodor. The best example is a carbon. If we say, as we've been learning, that this piece of meat should be like a carbon, since a carbon is a dover hanodor, so too the hatfasa will be effective hatfasa. But if one is matfis bedover ha-osr, our mission is going to give us a number of examples, the best example being bosa chazir or other examples, that's not an effective hatfasa. I did see an interesting machloikus rishonim. This halacha that I just said, that hatfasa only is effective bedover hanodor, not bedover osur, is a halacha that we've been discussing. And therefore, certainly, if one said that this piece of meat, pareze kezeh, this piece of meat should be like a piece of meat which is osur, it's a non-kosher piece of meat, everybody agrees that it's not an effective hatfasa. But what would be the halacha if someone said, harei bosazeh osur, that this piece of meat should be osur, which is certainly a valid neder, and then he added the words kid basa chazir. So if he had not added the words of basa chazir, it certainly would be a valid neder. Now the shaila is, since he added those words, does that completely invalidate the neder? Because he was matfis bedover osur, and as we learned and will learn, hatfasa bedover osur is unacceptable. Or do we say that since the first part of a statement, that basa zeh osur, is a standalone neder, the fact that he added and made it worse by being matvis in davar osur does not disqualify the neder. Machlokes Rishonim. The Rishonim also discuss why hatfasa is only effective when it's bedover hanodor, not bedover osur. And I saw essentially two pshatim. One pshat is the pshat of the Ran, which the Ran says that what are the mechanics of hatfasa? What hatfasa does is it extends the isser on the dover hanodor that's already osser onto the new item that I want to make osser. So something that is a dover hanodor is an isser that could be extended. That was an isser that I created or was created by another and could be extended. An isser of dover osser is not something that was man-made. It was made min hashamayim. And therefore, it cannot serve as the basis for extending an isser, extending a neder. That's the Ran's explanation. Ritva says a very interesting explanation. It's a lamdish explanation. He says as follows. We've discussed this concept a number of times. When the Torah tells us, for example, not to eat non-kosher food, is that an issa cheftza or is an issa gavra? Does the Torah speak to the piece of meat and saying that this piece of meat is osur? Or is it the issa gavra? The Torah speaking to me and telling the person, you may not eat non-kosher. So Ritva says that the lavim in the Torah are issa gavras, not issa cheftza. So the Torah speaking to me, the individual, and saying, you're not allowed to eat non-kosher. So we know that an issa neder, as we've been discussing, we'll discuss many, many more times amidst Hashem, is an issa cheftza. So if I have a piece of meat that's non-kosher, the isser on that piece of meat is not a cheftza. It's an issa gavra. So I can't make an issa cheftza on the new piece of meat that I want to make osur from issa gavra. This is an issa cheftza. This is issa gavra. They just don't match. And that's why hatfasa could only be bedover hanodor, not bedover osur. So begins the Mishnah. Ve'elu mutarim. These nedarim are mutarim. And the Tosfos Yontov explains that the Mishnah begins with the words ve'elu mutarim to teach us that even though we learned in the previous parak began with situations where these are effective nadarim. Now the Mishnah says this perek is going to begin with situations that don't create a neder. Chulin shay chalach. If somebody says that this food should be like chulin, obviously he didn't make a neder. And actually, in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn in the Gemara that this is an obvious din. Why does the Mishnah have to teach it us? Continues the Mishnah. If somebody said kibasa chazir, that he was matfis in basa chazir, then the hatfasa is not a valid hatfasa because it's a davar asr. And now the Mishnah is going to list a number of other items that are davar asr. And the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, the Achronim, try to explain why we need the Mishnah to teach us each one of these cases. Why does Mishnah have to keep on teaching us cases of davar asr that are not effective hatfasa, not effective nadarim? And the Mefarshim explain that what the Mishnah is trying to teach us here is that as we go further in the Mishnah and speak about the different examples that the Mishnah teaches us, every example is more asr, has reason to be considered a bigger isser than the previous case. So one would perhaps think that when we're dealing with something which is so asr, it should be effective hatfasa, teaches us the Mishnah, no matter how serious of an isser we're talking about, an hatfasa bedover asr is not a valid hatfasa, and the neder is not a neder. And therefore, we have kavodes kechavim. We know that avodes kechavim is more of a serious isser than basa chazir, because avodes kechavim, not only is it asr, but it's asr bahanoah. So one would think that hatfasa and avodah zarah should be good hatfasa. Teaches us the Mishnah that even hatfasa and avodah zarah is not a good hatfasa. The next case is Iris Levuvin. Iris Levuvin, as the Rishonim explained, was one of the ways that they did pagan worship, was that they would cut a hole in an animal, pull out its heart, and then sacrifice that heart as an avodah zarah. Avodah zarah itself, the halach is on the specific circumstances that we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem Masechta Avodah Zarah, can become bottle, can be nullified. Takruvus Avodah Kechavim, something that was sacrificed for Avodah Zarah, can never become bottle. So Iris Levuvin is a bigger issue than just Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah can be nullified. Takruvus Avodah Kechavim cannot be nullified. Still teaches us the Mishnah, it would not be an effective hatfasa. Kinevelis for Trefos are even a bigger isser, because as the Torah tells us, nevelis, besides being usser, are also metame. Avodah zarah, although it's metame, it's only midrabbanan. Nevelis are metame midaraisa. And the Rishonim point out that's nevelis. What about trefus? Trefus are not metame. So the Rishonim explained that actually trefus doesn't really carry any chiddush. And the Rishonim that in fact delete the word trefus from our Mishnah. The girsa like we have that includes trefa is because typically trefa and nevela travel together. Since the Mishnah mentioned nevelas, it also mentions trefas. Kishkotzim v'ramashim, which we know are osir, and also metame, but are even a bigger issa. Because nevelas are only metame by the shear of a kazayas. Shkotzim and v'ramashim are metame even when you have just the size of a kadasha, the size of a lentil, much smaller shear. So it's even more stringent, it's more chomer, still teaches us the Mishnah, being matfis in this object is not an effective hatfasa, because it's a davar asr. The next case is kechalas aron u'kutrumasai, the truma that we take off, or the challah that's taken off from the dough that's given to the kohanim, also is not an effective hatfasa. And as the Ritva explains, why is this considered a more serious isser, as we're going from one serious isser to a more serious isser, because the halach is that if somebody, if a Yisrael, if a Zor eats truma, there's a chiyuv misa. So it's a very serious isser, and still it's not an effective hatfasa. Just to review what we discussed in our shiur two dafim ago, that the Rishonim will ask, why is truma considered a dover asr? Shouldn't truma be considered a dover hanoder? Because how does one affect truma? He's mafresh. He separates the portion that it should be truma. How does one make challah? He separates the portion it should be challah. So that's not a davar asr, it's a davar nadar. I made it into challah. I made it into truma. So why is it considered a davar asr? So there are three answers given by the Rishonim. The Ran's answer is that yes, I created that this should be truma. I created it should be challah. But why did I do it? I didn't do it because I volunteered to do it. I did it because the Torah told me I have to do it. So that's not called a davar another. That's called a davar asur. The Rambam, very similar explanation, says truma by definition cannot be considered davar another because truma, you can't just take truma from any item. Truma is only when you follow the rules of the Torah, that the foods that are subject to the rules of truma, the foods that are subject to the rules of challah. A davar another by definition means that I can make it into, that I can make anything into a davar another. Truma and challah have restrictions where they're applicable, where they're not. And therefore it's not considered a davar another. Rambam's explanation. The Rosh and Tosfos have a very interesting explanation, as we discussed. We're not going to review the entire subject, but as we discussed previously. When we start with a barrel of tefuah, that barrel tefuah is usr, it's tevel. When we remove the truma, so for me the Yisrael, it continues to be usr. Now everybody understands that tevel is a davar usr. Nothing was designated to be tevel. It's tevel by definition. Truma, explained the Asher and the Reis, Rabbi Yosef Engel, in explaining the opinion of the Rosh and Tosfos, is just a continuation of the issa tevel. And since tevel is a davar asur, truma, as far as the Yisrael is concerned, is a continuation of that isur, and that's why it's considered a davar asur, not a davar hanadur. So the halacha is mutter. These are all not effective nedarim, as we've been explaining, because it's atfasa b'davar asur, not b'davar hanadur. Continues the Mishnah. And before we go further, there's obviously a question in understanding the Mishnah. The Mishnah began with the words v'elu mutarim. So Raz Mishnah again have to say mutter. Question to leave on the side for the moment. Says the Mishnah, ha'oyim al ishtay, if somebody says to his wife, harei at olai ki'ima, he says that I may not have benefit from you, like I may not have from with my mother. So as we'll learn in the Gemara, and the Rishonim expound on what we're going to learn in the Gemara in Mitzvah Shem, our Mishnah is referring to a very specific situation. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation of an Amoritz. An Amoritz says to his wife, I'm treating you as Osir like my wife, like my mother is Osir. It's an Atfasa, but Dover Osir. The Issa to one's mother is a Dover Osir. So by right, it should not be an effective Neder. However, Chazal, the Rabbanan, said that it should be considered an effective Neder. Why? So as the Rishonim explained, number one, we're referring that the one that made the nether is an Amoritz. And by an Amoritz, we have specific concerns, which we'll explain in a moment. And the person he's making the nether to is to his wife. So Chazal, even though halachically this is an invalid nether, still said that we should be machmer and treat it as a nether. Why? So one pshat is, because the Amoratzim typically were very lax and made nedarim. So Chazal wanted to prevent them from making nedarim. And therefore, even when they made a nether, which really isn't a valid nether, we were machmer. Another pshat is particularly when they speak to their wives, they don't speak with the proper respect to their wives. And Chazal were concerned that there be proper respect between a husband and a wife. So this is what they said. If you're going to speak to your wife that way, it's going to be considered a nether. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is that a Talmud Chacham is able to discern that sometimes a nether is a valid nether and sometimes a nether is not a valid nether. And a Ma'aretz, if we're going to tell him, you don't have to worry, what you just said is not a valid nether, he's not going to recognize, yes, this nether, I was matfis b'dover asr, so it's not a good nether. But the next time when he'll be matfis b'dover another, and it will be a good nether, he won't recognize that there's a difference. He's going to know the nedarim aren't a problem. So because we're concerned that the Amoratzim should not make this error, so we said even when you're matfis b'dover ha'osur, it should be considered a nether. And again, the Rishonim point out, and we'll see it in the Gemara, it doesn't necessarily have to be that he was matfis ki'ima. Any time that he's matfis b'any dover ha'osur, which as we've been describing and learning, it's not an effective nether, midaraisa, Chazal were makbid by the Amoratzim. Now, we need to explain what does it mean. Here too we have a Machlokes Rishonim. The Rosh explains the Gemara very simply. We know that a person could have his nether annulled by going to a Chacham. One of the ways of having a nether annulled by going to Chacham, I'm not going to learn this sugya today, is by having Charotah, regretting saying the nether. Teaches us the Mishnah. Part of our Chumrat HaRamiratzim is that just coming in and saying I regret making the nether is insufficient to get the nether annulled. Another pshat that the Ran learns is as follows. The Gemara is going to teach us later in the Masechta that when one comes to a Chacham to be matter a nether, he cannot have his nether annulled by saying, this nether, I was being disrespectful to my parents. That's not a way to have a nether annulled. But one would perhaps think that since, as we just learned, the nether that we're learning about now is really only a nether midrabbanan, midaraisa, it's not a nether. If a Talmud Chacham made this nether, it wouldn't be a nether. So we should at least be lenient that when the Amoritz comes in to be mat the nether, and he says that this nether was insulting to my mother, it should be an effective way of having the nether annulled. Teaches us the Mishnah, just like by a real deraisa nether, it would not be an effective way of having the nether annulled. Even by this nether the Rabbanon, the same halacha applies, and you cannot have the nether annulled by saying it, the nether was insulting, it wasn't respectful to my mother. Now we understand why the Mishnah uses the word mutter again, explained the Rishonim. Because really the case of the Sefer, when the Amoritz makes this nether, is also not a real good nether, because he was matfis bedavar eser. It's only a chumrah d'rabbanan, and that's why the Mishnah uses the word mutter. The first case is completely mutter. The second case, even though it's really not a nether, we're going to l'chumrah d'rabbanan, treat it as a nether. Says the Gemara. The first words of the Mishnah, the first case of the Mishnah of an invalid nether was when somebody were using the words chul and shaychalach. Says the Gemara, tam dam chul and shaychalach, because he said that the food I eat is chulin, so obviously we don't have a nether. Ha'amah l'chul and shaychalach, but if he would use the words l'chulin shaychalach, so as we learned in the previous parak, mashma, what would it mean? Loy l'chulin lahavi, what I eat of yours should not be considered like chulin, and should be considered like a carbon. Mani, whose opinion does that represent? Ira Meir, it can't represent the opinion of Ira Meir, because as we learned so much at length in the previous parak, Holeslei mechlal av atashmehein, he doesn't follow the concept that you could deduce from a lav, from a negative, a positive. So obviously it doesn't follow the opinion of Ira Meir. Ella, whose opinion does our Mishnah represent? Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara Hayna Reisha. We already have a Mishnah that we learned in the previous parak that teaches us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a nether could be created with a mechlal lav atashmehein. So why does our Mishnah have to repeat it? So as Rishonim explained, if we would say that our Mishnah is teaching us that even according to Rameya, that by Tanoim, as we learned in the previous parak, does not subscribe to the concept a mechlal lav atashmehein. And now our Mishnah is going to come teach us that Rameya only said that by Tanoim, but not by Nedarim. So our Mishnah is teaching us a wonderful chiddush. But as we learned in the previous parak, Rameya compares Nedarim to Tanoim. And just like by Tanoim, Rameya doesn't subscribe to the concept a mechlal lav atashmehein, so too by Nedarim does he not subscribe to that concept. So what's our Mishnah teaching us that we don't know already? Says the Gemara, I did the Tani Kabasa Chavir Vajka Chavim. Since our Mishnah gave us various examples of Nedarim that aren't effective, because he was Matvis Bedavar Asur, Lahochik Tani Chulin, that's why our Mishnah included in the list Chulin Shoichalach, that what I eat should be Chulin, even though it's obvious that that's not an effective Nedar. Ravina Amma, Ravina says, Hochik Tani, Ve'ele Mitarim Kachulin, Kabasa Chazir. The Mishnah specifically brought in the case of Chulin to teach us that the case of Kibbutz Chazir and Kavadis Kechavim should be compared to the case of Chulin. Meaning, just like if somebody said, Chulin Shoichalach, the food that I eat of yours is Chulin. Would anybody have a Havamina? Would anybody consider that a valid nether? Of course not. It doesn't require any Shayla. It doesn't require any Hataris Nadarim. So the Mishnah wants to show us that the same thing is the halacha that when you said kibasa chazir or you said kavadz kechavim, the neder is totally invalid and doesn't require hataras nadarim. Says the Gemara, do I need the Mishnah to teach us that? V'loy tolin chulin. If the Mishnah would have not brought in this example of chulin shaychalach, havamina by shayla, would I then even have a havamina that you need hataras nadarim? Or me? Is there any place for such a havamina? Hamidik tani sefer, since the sefer, the Mishnah, that we just learned, taught us. That when the Amoritz tells his wife, the hatfos v'dava osur, there were machmer. And we said that the neder is a neder midrabonim. And paischen lo paischen makamach, and we have to go for ataras nedarim, mechlal, so it's obvious. Then the reisha, when the Talmud Chochem is matfis bedover aser, like by Shailen, the net is totally invalid. So why do I need the Mishnah to bring me the case of chulin shaychalach to reflect that kibasa chazir, kavetz kechavim is totally not a nether? It's obvious without those words that this nether is not a nether. It says the Gemara, el mechvarta chulmame mazban. We have to go back to our original teretz. Yes, there is no chiddush in the words chulin shaychalach, just since the Mishnah is listing various nadarim they're not effective, the Mishnah mentioned this case too, even though there's nothing, even though it's obvious and it's well understood. So now comes the Gemara to the point, a halacha we've been learning for so many days, now the Gemara shows us the source for this halacha. Ask the Gemara, no hanimili, we've been learning that hatfasa bedover hanadar is an effective hatfasa, hatfasa bedover ha'osar is not an effective hatfasa. Ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, where do we know this halacha from? Answers the Gemara, Amakra, because the pasuk says, Ish kiyida neder l'Hashem, at shiyida bedover hanadar. That hatfasa is only effective if I matvis bedover hanadar. Ask the Gemara, if that's the basis for saying that hatfasa is effective bedover hanadar, because the Torah uses the words yidar neder, so ask the Gemara, Yehoch afil bedover asanami. So then atfasa bedover asur should also be an effective atfasa. Because the pasuk also, in the very same pasuk, uses the words lesser isser. So why don't I learn, says the Gemara, just like we're using the words lidor neder, to teach us that atfasa bedover hanodor is an effective atfasa. Let's say that the words lesser isser are teaching us that atfasa bedover asur is also a valid hatfasa. So ask Taisvis, if that would be the case, Taisvis asks a question on the Havamina. Why do I need a pasuk both for a dover another and for a dover asur? So Taisvis says, each one of these subjects has a chumrah that the other subject doesn't have. A dover another, as we've been explaining, is certainly more logical to be an effective hatfasa, because it's similar to a nether. But a dover another is not something that's really usr. It's only something that I chose to make usr. A dover usr is something that is usr, inherently usr. On the other hand, a dover usr is inherently usr, but it's not man-made, so it's not similar to nether. So each of them has a reason to be that are different, and I need a pasuk, at least in the Havamina, to teach us that both a dover another or a dover usr are effective at fasa. So the Gemara's question again is, just like we're using the words yidah neder to teach us that atfasa bedover another is a good atfasa, why don't we use the words lesser iser to teach us that atfasa bedover aser is a valid atfasa? Answers the Gemara, leeser iser miboy leilich ratanya. We need those words to teach us a different halacha. Gemara that we learned just 2 days ago on Daf Yud Beis. Eze iser hama v'tayra. Just to review, the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis quoted a Gemara from Masechta Shavuos Daf Chof Meralef. The Gemara says there that what is the example of atfasa? That if somebody was matfis, like in the day that it's his father's yard site that he fasted on that day, or if he was matfis in Tzom Gedalia, as we explained, and we'll explain more in a moment, that besides that Tzom Gedalia you're not allowed to eat with Rabbanan, he made a nether that he's not allowed to eat Tzom Gedalia, it's an effective atfasa. Why would I say it's not an effective atfasa? So the Ran, just to review, we spoke about the Ran on that, in that shiur, gives 2 reasons. What, as we said at the beginning of today's shiur, is the paradigm, is the model of a perfect hatfasim? A carbon. If somebody's matzis, bosa zed, this meat should be like a carbon, that's a perfect hatfasim. Now let's think about that case. A carbon. Carbon is also to everyone. If something's a carbon, nobody's allowed to have hanah from it. A day that is the yahrzeit of my father is a day that only I may not eat. So one would think that atfas bedavar hanodur has to be atfasr in something that's usr to everyone. How do we know that a dover hanodur that's only usr to a certain individual or to only to a certain segment of the population is also considered a dover hanodur that could affect atfasr? That's what the pasuk is teaching us. Another pshat that the Ran said is that we would think that if somebody made a neder not to eat on some gedalia, it should not be considered a davar hanodur, because he anyway not allowed to eat on some gedalia. Teaches us the brisa, the pasuk, that since the issa to eat on some gedalia is only an issa de rabbonon, so when I make a neder not to eat on that day, it's a valid neder, and not only is it a valid neder, it could be the subject of a hatfasa. So we learned in the Mishnah, Haim l'ishta hareyat alayki ima, if the Amoritz, as we've learned, said to his wife, like my mother, it's a neder mid rabbanon. Ask the Gemara for a minute. If somebody says to his wife, hareyat alayki kibasa ima, kibasa achoisi, ka'ol ukekale karem, loyamaklum, clearly, contradiction to our Mishnah, here it said that the neder is not a valid neder, and here Amish said that at least midrabbanan it's a valid neder. Amr baya lo yamaklum midaraisa b'tzarach shelam midrabbanan. The way to understand the difference, says Abaya, between the braisa and the Mishnah is the braisa is referring midaraisa. Midaraisa, the neder is truly not a neder because it's atfasa b'davar aser, and we just finished learning that atfasa b'davar aser is not a neder. The Mishnah is teaching us that midrabbanan, even though it's not a good neder midaraisa, the rabbanon were machmer. Rava disagrees with Abaya. Why does Rava disagree with Abaya? So Rishonim explain. Because what is the wording of the braisa? The braisa says loy amaklum. Says Rava, the words loy amaklum mean that it's totally nothing, totally ineffective. But if Abaya's explanation doesn't say that, Abaya says it's ineffective midaraisa, but it's effective midrabbanon. Therefore, Rava says another teretz, which is the teretz which is accepted la'alocha, which is the teretz that we've been working with. Haba talmid chachamim, haba amaretz. The Bryce is talking talmid chachamim. Talmid chachamim, when the matvus bedavar aser, the nether is invalid. The Mishnah is referring to amaretz, and the amaretz, there midrabbanon at least, the nether is a valid nether. And as a very interesting shaila that I saw, it's Fasemis, asks, discusses a number of scenarios. We're learning now that if the Amoritz makes such a neder, where he's matfis bedavar aser, midrabbanon, it's a neder. Now, what would be if someone is matfis in that neder? Will that be considered hatfasa? Because he was matfis in a neder, but it's only a neder that's a neder for Amoratzim. So the Sfasema says as follows. If an Amoritz, if a second Amoritz is matvis in the nether of an Amoritz, it's certainly good atfasa, because since for him, if he would make such a nether, it would be a good nether, it's considered atfasa bedover hanoder. But now we have two other situations. What would be the halacha if Amoritz is matvis in the nether of Talmud Chacham? Talmud Chacham made this type of a nether, which Al Gemara is teaching us, it's not a good nether, but for Amoritz it would be a good nether. Is it considered a hatfasa or not? Says the Sfasemis, that since that Talmud Chacham is the one that made the first nether, and our Gemara Mishnah teaching us that it's not a nether, so it can't be used as a source for hatfasa. What about the other way around? If the Amoritz made a nether, and we're saying that it is a valid nether, and the Talmud Chacham is matfis in that nether, will it be atfasa or not? Because for the Amoritz, it's a nether. So is it considered at least a cause for atfasa for Talmud Chacham? There, Turis Fasema says that since for Talmud Chacham, it's not considered a nether, it can't be the source of atfasa. Says the Gemara Vatanya. Here Vatanya is not a kasha. Here Vatanya is a raya. There's a machlekes Rishonim to explain what is the Gemara bringing a raya to. The Rosh explains that the raya the Gemara is trying to prove is that even though the Braisa used the words lo'yama klum, we're saying that lo'yama klum is only for Talmid Chachamim, not for Amaratzim. Where do we see that even though the Braisa, even though the Mishnah or Braisa could use the words lo'yama klum, there's a difference between Talmid Chachamim and Amaratz, we're going to bring such a Braisa. The Ran says that the raya we're going to bring is that our Gemara explained that the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa is that the Mishnah speaking Tamaratzim, the Braisa speaking Talmid Chachamim. Where do we have a precedent that by Hilchos Nedarim there's a difference between Talmid Chachamim and Amaratzim? That's what the Braisa we're going to learn shows us. It says, Hanoide B'Torah, and most Rishonim explain that even though the Braisa that we're going to learn now, the Braisa we're going to learn in Amud Beis in a moment, says the word Hanoide, we're not referring to a nether, we're actually referring here to a Shvua. And as we've learned, to articulate a Shvua, there's one of two ways. Either one could say, I'm making a Shvua, or one could say, use the Shem Hashem. In the situation that we're referring, that we're going to be discussing now, he did not say, I'm making a Shvua, nor did he use a Shem Hashem. But he said, I'm making a Shvua with the Torah. And in the Torah, there's the Shem Hashem. Says the Braisa, Hanoide b'Torah, lo'yama klum. If somebody makes a Shvua with the Torah, and the Gemara is going to expound on it more in Amud Beis, it's not a Shvua. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan, however, Rabbi Yochanan said, V'tzorich sheilu l'chachem. Even though we just said it's lo'yama klum, you have to have a Taras Nadarim. So how do we reconcile? Because Amar Rav Nachman, V'tam l'chachem ain't tzorich sheilu. So both Pshatim that we explained from the Rishonim and now understood. Here we see that the Braisa says lo'yama klum, but it's only speaking to Talmid Chachamim, not Tamaratzim. So we say we see like the Rosh is looking for a proof. The Braisa could use the words lo'yama klum, even though it's only speaking to Talmid Chachamim, not Tamaratzim. Or as the Ran learned, here again we find a precedent that Talmid Chachamim and Amaratzim are not treated the same way. So the Gemara brings the Braisa at greater length and more explanation about this case of somebody making a shvua with a Torah. Says the Braisa, Tanya, Hanoide b'Torah, lo'yama klum. Says the Gemara, if he said b'masha kosaba, if instead of saying he's making a neder in the Torah, he says I'm making a neder in the words of the Torah, not just on the parchment that the Torah is written on, then his shvua is a good shvua. And then the Braisa teaches us another halacha. Because, why? Because when he's referring to the words that are written in the Torah, what are some of the words written in the Torah? The Shem Hashem. As we said a moment ago, when one makes a shvua with the Shem Hashem, it's a good shvua. So when he says, b'mesha kasaba, it's a shvua. Furthermore, teaches us the Braisa, if he said, bo or b'mesha kasaba, if he said besides the word bo, he also said, b'mesha kasaba, dvarim kayamim, it's also a good shvua. So as again, and we're learning now with the Pshat that most Rishonim, the Ran and most Rishonim learn with. We're going to quote the Pshat of the Ravid a little later. What is our Gemara teaching us? That when somebody makes a neder bo with a parchment that the Torah is written on, that is not considered Shem Hashem, and therefore cannot serve as the basis of a Shvuah. When he says v'meshe kosav bo, that is already referring to the words of the Torah, which include the Shem Hashem, and it's an effective neder. Says the Shar Mitzvah Balacha, quotes a Noid of Yehuda. He says, one should not make an error, he says, in believing that just because you, when somebody makes a neder bo with the parchment that the Torah is written on, that there's no kedusha in the parchment. Certainly there is kedusha in the parchment. It's just not an effective means of making a shvua. And the Noid of Yehuda brings a beautiful raya to this concept. He says, we know that the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Luchos, with the first Luchos, and he saw the Klal Yisrael had done the Aveira of the Eagle, the letters of the Luchos jumped off the Luchos. What was just left? The rock, the stone. Moshe Rabbeinu broke those stones, and the Gemara says, Luchos v'shivrei Luchos munachim ba'orin. So all we have here are just the parchment. It's just the stone. There's no words on it. And still, how respectfully was it treated that it was put in the same Aron HaKadosh, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with the real Luchas. So we see that the Gevilim have Kedusha. It's just regarding Hilchas Shvuah that we're discussing. It doesn't have a Shem Hashem on it. On the other hand, I did see a very interesting tshuva from Rav Moshe Klein, the Shaila Tshuvas Mishnah Halachas. He discusses such a Shaila. He says, particularly when they used to write these very large Sefer Torah, there was a large empty space on the top of the words of the Torah, and there's a large empty space on the bottom. And what would happen, he said, particularly after, during the war, when a lot of Sefer Torah became ruined, sometimes the edge gets ruined. There's no words written there, it's just the edge. Can one cut the edge off, and be left with a Sefer Torah? He says, the halacha is you're allowed to cut. It's only the gevilin, it's not considered the proper Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, Ketani, we learned the second case of the Mishnah was, that if somebody said a shvua using the words b'mashe kosaba, so he's referring to the words of the Torah, Devar of Kayamim. And then the Bryce went on to say that if he said ba over b'mashe kosaba, it's also, ask the Gemara, if b'mashe kosaba is an effective nether, so why does the Bryce have to teach me ba b'mashe kosaba tzarich l'meimah? It's obviously an effective nether. Answers the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to give three truths to this question. First teretz. Amrav Nachman Loikasha. Hodem Machsa Raisa Ara, Hodem Nach Lebiyodei. There's a difference if he's holding the Sefer Torah versus if the Sefer Torah is on the floor. Machsal Ara, if the Sefer Torah is on the floor, Data Gvilei, he is really, since he's not treating the Sefer Torah respectfully, it's on the floor. So there we say that even if he uses the words, B'mashe Kosovo, he really just means the parchment. If he's holding it in his hand, so he's treating it respectfully, and he said b'mashe kosaba, then we say he means the words of the Torah. So let's explain this a little better. If he's holding the Sefer Torah, so as soon as he uses the words b'mashe kosaba, it's considered that he means the words of the Sefer Torah, and it's an effective shvur, Shem Hashem. If the Sefer Torah is on the floor, however, Pashup Shan the Gemara, we'll go a little deeper in a moment, if the Sefer Torah is on the floor, so there, even if he just used the words b'mashe kosaba, we don't say he means the words of the Torah. We say he means the gvilim, because the Torah is on the floor. Only when he, not only does he say b'mashe kosaba, but he also uses the words ba. So it's obvious that he's not only referring to the parchment. Because if he was only referring to the parchment, why did he say ba or b'mashe kosaba? Then, even though the Sefer Torah is on the floor, then the nether is an effective nether. Again, if he's holding it, ba b'mashe kosaba is an effective nether. Certainly ba b'mashe kosaba is an effective nether. When it's on the floor, it's only an effective nether when he uses the words ba or b'mashe kosaba. But here we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim, which the Shor Mitzion Balocha says has very significant relevance la locha lemaisa. The Gemara draws a distinction between if it's on the floor or on your hands. But there could be a different situation. It's not on the floor, it's not on your hands. It's on a table. How do we consider it when it's on the table? Do we consider it like it's in your hands, or do we consider it like it's on the floor? The Ran says that as soon as it's not on your hands, it's like it's on the floor. Other Rishonim say no, that unless it's actually al-ara, unless it's actually on the floor, it's considered like it's in your hands. Chalkus Rishonim says the Shor Mitzion HaBalacha, where will this be relevant? He says many times, particularly Yontif, when we take out two Sefer Torah, and we're reading from one Sefer Torah, and the other Sefer Torah is not being used. According to the Ran, as long as you're not holding the Sefer Torah, it's considered like it's on the floor. You're not allowed to just put the Sefer Torah down on a bench or on a table, because the Gemara, according to the Ran, it's considered like it's on the floor. Only according to the other Rishonim that say that unless it's actually on the floor, is it considered disrespectful? Anything else is considered respectful? You could put it down on a table or a bench. Very interesting. Shaila alok lamaisa. Ibai Seima, another way of explaining why did the Braisa have to bring down this case, abo over b'mashe kosaba. If mashe kosaba alone is effective nether, the machsal ara. It's talking in a case that it's on the floor. And the Braisa is teaching us, v'ok mashe gav, the afgav the machzal ara, kiven the omer mashikasaba mahani, that even in a case where it's on the floor, so I would think that he only refers to the parchment, teaches us the brisa that whenever you use the words b'mashikasaba, it's equivalent to saying ba or mashikasaba, and even though it's on the floor, it's an effective shvur. The Ran takes out the words v'zuvei tzarchle mezuktani. V'bai same a third teretz. Kula mitziyasa nami de lokalei biyodei. Mitziyasa means the second and third case of the brisa is referring to where he's holding it. V'hokamash one. Kivin the nokalei biyodei, since he's holding it, afagav de loy oma ela ba, even though he used the words ba, and we say when somebody uses the words ba, it's not, it's only referring to the gvilim, it's only referring to the parchment, not to the shemos Hashem, command on the mash kosovah havi. Since he's holding the Sefer Torah, whenever you hold the Sefer Torah, because you're showing respect to the Sefer Torah, even though you're only using wording a ba, which seems to indicate that you're not, that you're only referring to the parchment, no. We look at it as if you're referring to the Shem Hashem because you're holding the Sefer Torah and showing respect. Those are the three terutzim. Three interesting points. The Shaz Chuva's Har Kamel, quoted by the Piskei Tshuva and the Noida Behuda, say what's going to be the halacha if you have a Sefer Torah and you're holding it, let's use the last teretz we learned, or whatever situation is, but it's a possible Sefer Torah. It's missing a Uriya, it's missing one of the columns. What will be the din on that Sefer Torah? So they both say that the neder, the shvur will still be an effective shvur, even if the Sefer Torah is possible. The Ravid has a very different pshat, the Ran quotes the Ravid, has a very different pshat in this entire Gemara. We're just going to quote the pshat quickly. The Ravid says that this Gemara is a continuation of our subject of Atfasa. We're not referring to a shvur here, as we explained the Gemara. We're actually referring to a neder. And it's a neder that's being created with Atfasa. Now, Shaila here is if you're matfis in the parchment, or you're matfis in the Shem Hashem, in the Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah. Matfis in the parchment, says the Ravid, is like being matfis in the Dover Osir. You didn't create the Kedusha of the parchment. Parchment is parchment. On the other hand, the Shem Hashem, how does the Shem Hashem receive its Kedusha? That before the Sefer writes the Shem Hashem, he prepares himself properly, and he has in mind, when he writes the Shem Hashem, that this is Hashem's name, and that's why it's considered a Dover Anodr, and therefore Hatfasa in the parchment is considered a Hatfasa, but Dover Anodr, it's not effective Hatfasa. Hatfasa in the Shem Hashem is considered Hatfasa, but Dover Anodr, and is an effective Hatfasa. But going back to our Pshat, not our Pshat, Pshat, the Rishayim that we learned, that we're talking about a Shvuah, and there's a nafkamina if you make a shvur in the parchment, or you make a shvur in the words of the Sefer. But now we have a machloikas Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam says that even when you refer to the words of the Sefer, the halach is it's only hatfasa in the Chamisha Chum Shetayra, not in any other Sefer. The Ravid says it's not only Sefer Torah, it's nach the same. So says the Tzofnas Pneach, the Rogachover. What is the explanation of the machloikas of the Rambam and Ravid? He says it's really reflecting another machloikas of the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says that loss of lovai, all of the Tanakh will lose the Kedusha besides the Chamisha Chum Shetayra and Megillas Esther. Now Megillas Esther cannot be the source for a Shvur because Shem Hashem does not appear in Megillas Esther. So that's why the Rambam holds that only Chamisha Chum Shetayra, whose Kedusha is permanent, even when Mashiach comes, could be the source for a Shvur. The Ravid, however, holds that even loss of Lavoi, all of Tanakh will remain. So if it's going to be permanent, the Kedusha of Tanakh is permanent, and therefore, not only the Chamisha Chum Shetayra could be the source of the Shem Hashem to affect the Shvur, all of the Sifrei Tanakh, which will remain after Mashiach comes, Karov, can be an effective way of creating another. A shvur.